Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
Tom Giordano on Talk Radio 1210 WPHT.
Hey, everyone. Welcome back into the Dom Giordano program. Big issues, big guest, and nobody, I think, checks so many boxes as our guest, Brian Kilmeade, with his brand-new book that's going great guns, Sam Houston and the Alamo Avengers, The Texas Victory That Changed American History. Brian, welcome back. And I saw your interview, albeit the president cut some of the time out, with Tucker Carlson. And the point that the two of you were making is how your book does kind of chronicle or inform some of the things we're seeing play out today.
Actually, I was at my normal time slot. Just the president was my 45-minute warm-up act, or hour and 45-minute warm-up act. It was nice of Tucker to have me on anyway. And after recapping last night's latest rally, which was very successful for the president, we'll see if it produces a victory for Governor Bevin. I just was watching, and I was watching him talk about where Kentuckians are from and what their state was all about and who was the makeup of the people. And I thought, what a contrast. What a contrast between what we're debating now. We're debating we should take money from successful people. We're debating about people getting $1,000 just because automation might have taken their job instead of getting a new career. And now we're depending on the government to blame and to give us opportunity. And that's just not, as I study history, and especially with this book, Sam Houston, the Alamo Avengers, and you find out about the people that were fighting just for the opportunity to be free because nobody else was, I'm thinking to myself, where's that mindset? I know we got cars and roads now and planes, and there's a huge difference, but we lost the mindset. At least some people have.
Well, I think, too, the people who have not, though, are pushing back as strongly as ever. They're not wielding either. So, you know, as much as the socialism crowd is there, on the other side, people are more revved up than I've ever seen them. You also made the point, too, that this is your books and the series and what you're doing, just your joy, your passion for this, your Fox Nation show, is a pushback against not just attacking, all right, they don't like a particular policy, but attacking American history, the traditions, the founding of this. I've never really heard people attack the Alamo or Sam Houston. You would think that would be almost impossible. Did you run across any of that in your research?
Well, I mean, there's a big push now, Dom, and I don't think I'm saying anything that people don't know. There's a war in history.
Right.
I mean, how many protests you want to see about statues? How many schools are going to be renamed? They don't even want to do the Jefferson-Jackson dinner anymore because these people weren't perfect. Like, our generation is perfect.
Right.
Our lawmakers are fantastic. And all of our listeners never make any mistakes. They can't be great people if they've ever made a mistake. How could they possibly be worthy of remembering? I can't believe it. I mean, I started doing this. I just hope people would like the story. I didn't know I had to get convinced people that history matters and American history is a reason for pride, not because it's perfect, but because to me, it's fascinating. And I just wanted to be a pushback on that. And so far, what we're seeing is a lot of people that they want to define it differently, and I don't. I want to chronicle it, but not whitewash it.
Exactly. Now, you have centered on a figure, and you do something fresh with each book, and that's hard to do. But there's a pivot point. We have the Alamo, but Sam Houston is not the seminal figure until you come along, because you have Davy Crockett, Jim Bowie. You have all the people associate these big characters that we've seen. John Wayne, I don't think, played Sam Houston, and I remember he comes in Act 4 after everything seems to be done. We're satisfied with the Alamo held out, but that wouldn't have mattered if Sam Houston didn't learn the lessons that you chronicle and ultimately defeat Santa Anna in a battle that took 18 minutes. That's one of the more remarkable things in American history.
I think so. And Sam Houston, you know, I was worried. You know, it's not Andrew Jackson. Everybody knows Jefferson. Everybody knows Washington. Those are 30 prior history books. And we're on Sam Houston. I wonder if people outside Texas will go, I'm going to keep walking. I don't want that book. I don't know. I don't really know what Sam Houston did. My hope is that by starting the book what I did, and that is him fighting under Andrew Jackson and almost dying, and Jackson mentored him his entire life. I almost try in my mind, I was thinking like it's Rocky II to Rocky III. As Rocky III starts, they start the end of Rocky II, and they get you up to date on what's going to happen in Rocky III. So I'm telling you right now, here's when I left off, Andrew Jackson was winning the Battle of New Orleans. Well, prior to that, Sam Houston was fighting against the Creek Indians under Jackson, and he almost died. He was forced to go rehab in a hospital in Baltimore and took three wounds, one of the hand, one of the arm, one of the shoulder, and one of the thigh, and he was supposed to die. And what he did after that, and what was he doing prior to that, was not perfect. He drank too much. His family had a farm. He wasn't a great farmer. His family had a store. He wasn't a great clerk. He didn't love going to school. He liked reading on his own. And until he joined the military is when he got disciplined, although he started drinking a lot. And that's not perfect, so should we not study him? No. He ends up having nine kids, stop drinking, become a governor, a senator, and then a president of Texas, and become a wonderful military leader who was at the perfect place at the perfect time to beat Santa Ana. And instead of going for ultimate revenge, even though he was wounded again in battle, in that final battle of San Jacinto, he was calm. He said, listen, I'm going to treat you like a head of state, which you are. I need you to sign over Texas, okay? And I need you to call up those reinforcements that are going to come try to wipe us out. And he did. So that was being avenging, not getting revenge.
Absolutely. Talking with Brian Kilmeade, the new book, Sam Houston and the Alamo Avengers, key in the title. Now, Texas itself, I've been to the Alamo once. Do you think it's still getting its just due, its sense? You're trying to revive a little bit of that, too, its place in our history. I don't know of any phrase or films that we've seen. Maybe D-Day. It kind of matches that.
Yeah, I mean, you should feel, everyone, all our listeners should feel good about this, and we'll talk about it hopefully when I come to visit you, is that they are reclaiming the footprint of the Alamo. People see that church and then that picture. If you go Google the Alamo, this church pops up. That is a small building inside a big complex, and it was not built as a fort. It was built almost like a mission, and they're reclaiming the footprint. It's George P. Bush, the land commissioner, son of Jeb, is redoing it. They're going over different designs. And it is so crowded. Right now in San Antonio, the place is packed. I've been there multiple times. It's always jammed. And that's great. It shows people who to get there, they got to go see it. And it's not a place where it was a great victory. In fact, it was a devastating loss. But it goes to show you in life some of the most impactful things that happen is when you don't win. And William Barrett Travis, if they had won at the Alamo, wouldn't be infamous. And Jim Bowie and Davy Crockett perhaps wouldn't either. But it's the way they fought, staring at death. And what they did to inflict massive casualties on the Mexican army in doing so is the reason why we remember the Alamo.
Well, exactly. You should be happy to know, too. Listeners, we're coming close to capacity at this point, and we got a big space because of you, because of the book, and because of what you're doing in this genre that no one else has quite a hand in. And that's finding something that we know, but advancing the story. That's really, really hard to do. What's the latest? What's occupying you at Fox and Friends right now, vis-a-vis impeachment, transcripts? Are you guys centering on the transcripts or something else moving the ball?
Well, I am bored with the transcripts. I know exactly what happens. The State Department people are poured by President Trump, and they got to find everything that shows he's ill-equipped and thuggish and ham-handed about all these things. Okay, next. Then don't vote for him. We're inside a year, and they're going to waste our time with all this. I will keep up with it because I have to, especially with the radio show, so I get to expand more. But I feel like I've seen this movie. It's called The Mueller Report. And in the end, it's going to be, I don't like Donald Trump, and I've always loved Donald Trump, right or wrong. I'm never going to not love him. And I just wonder how many independents and undecideds really care. So I want to talk about trade. I want to talk about the deficit, even though it looks bad for the president. I want to talk about where we're going to get immigration done. I want to talk about those that tragedy of this American family who was gunned down by a Mexican cartel. This stuff matters. What's happening in Syria, even though people's eyes roll when we talk about the Middle East, that to me matters. Talk to people who were forced out of there and they watched the Russians take over our base. I want to talk about things that have impact. I want to talk about the fact that Iran is being protested in Lebanon, in Syria, and in Iraq because they're oppressive, they're thuggish, they are relentless, and they try to dominate other countries. And it's no longer America that's just saying it. It's the Iraqis, the Lebanese, the Syrians. They're saying, enough. We're sick of you.
Yeah.
So the Middle East is pushing back on their version of the caliphate.
Well, it chews up, though. It chews up all the or takes all the oxygen in the room. But that aside, does President Trump remind you at all of Andrew Jackson? You've studied Jackson now in a couple of books. I don't think it was as hard. I can picture Andrew Jackson dealing with the sort of stuff we're seeing here because they didn't like his style. He challenged him to a duel. We don't do that anymore. Is he reminiscent of Jackson, or is Jackson reminiscent of Trump a bit?
No question. And just off the top of my head, number one, they both didn't trust Washington. They hired their family.
Right.
Number two, they both were not for the establishment party. They weren't the party pick, so they went and took their case to the people. Donald Trump did that. They were both very wealthy by the time they hit office. They were both very famous by the time they hit office. Most people said they didn't have the experience to lead. Andrew Jackson had a lot of enemies. And, man, does Trump have a lot of enemies. And the other thing is they both had a proclivity to not like the press. I was stunned to see when I've become a board member of the Hermitage where Andrew Jackson lived. And I asked him, I go, what are those albums for on the floor? He said, well, those were Andrew Jackson would keep bad headlines in the store because when reporters want to ask for an interview,
yeah,
he would be able to go back to the stories they didn't like and make them explain themselves. Does
wow.
that sound familiar?
Oh, absolutely. Boy, fake news even before we had that term. Well, you are going all across the country on this. You're going to be with us in Bucks County a week from November 13th at 7 p.m. It's a great spot. People are thrilled to welcome you there. We got a lot to talk about in the book that we barely scratched the surface. So we will see you then, Brian. Thank you very much for joining us again.
Absolutely, Dom. I look forward to sitting back with you. You're not going to just leave me out there. You're interviewing me, right?
Oh, absolutely. It's an hour and 15 minutes. Listener questions, my questions. But I know you like to get up around and point to stuff and maps and all that stuff. I've seen that on Fox Nation. So if you want to do some of that, we're fine with that, too.
All right. No, I'll let you. It's your show.
Okay.
So I appreciate the invitation.
All right. Well, Brian, thank you. Thanks very much.
Go get him, Dom. Thank you.
Dom Giordano, weekdays 9 till noon on Talk Radio 1210 WPHT.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.